This morning I'll be reading from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow in prayer this morning to glorify your name. We are so grateful to have this opportunity to speak to you, our living God, who sent his Son to us to show us the way, and who allowed that Son to die for our sins, so that we can talk to you this morning in prayer and walk in a newness of spirit and know that we are always in your care, that you always love each one of us, and that you want only the best for us. We ask that you forgive us when we fail to live up to our Christian calling. We open our hearts this morning to you and pray for the clearness of thought to see the direction you would have us go and strength to follow that path. We are mindful of the needs of our church family and those listed in the bulletin this morning, and we ask for your comfort, your strength, and peace for each one of them. We also pray for our nation, especially mindful of those on the East Coast. May your assurance and blessings of safety be with each one of them. We pray, too, for the lost of the world. May the good news of your message of love reach them. Bless all of those who serve to minister to them. And bless those attending and teaching at the Bible College. May their work extend your word through the nation and beyond. For we know that through you and your love, peace and comfort in times of trouble is possible. We claim that promise today and ask that you use us for the furtherance of your message of hope. Be with Michael this morning as he gives us your message. May this service uplift each one of us and draw us closer to you. We ask all of this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
You all have more of a look of anticipation than normal on your faces. I think that's good. This is quite a flashlight. It's kind of heavy because it's got so many batteries in it, but it's really a handy thing to have. It really is pretty remarkable. It's very strong. It has a bright light. It runs on internal power with the batteries that are in it. You can take it literally anywhere you want to go. It's just really a very, very handy thing to have. If you're in the darkness somewhere and you get this out, that'll take care of it. You can be in the light to guide your steps, to do whatever. Like I said, it's very, very handy. Could use it as a club if you need to, you know, whatever. But it's a tremendous thing to have because it really has no limitations. I mean, you can take it with you anywhere. Anytime you need it, it can be there, okay? So that's a great thing for us to have. This is also a light, and it's a little different than a flashlight because flashlights don't get tangled up like that. I have to plug this in here to a power source for it to work. This is oftentimes called a trouble light, and it's pretty handy too. But it has more limitations than what the flashlight has, because the flashlight you can take with you anywhere, anytime, doesn't matter. It'll go anywhere, and it runs on its own power source. The trouble light isn't like that. It has to have a power source. It has to be plugged in to a different power source in order for it to work. And it really can only go as far as what the cord reaches, and then it has to stop, or you have to move the cord or do something else with it. It was pretty handy. It gives pretty bright light, but it has some fairly serious limitations in terms of being dependent upon another power source and not being able to go very far with it. Which would you rather be? Which do you think would be the wisest of these two things to be? The flashlight that can be really independent, go anywhere, and runs on its own power? Or this light that's really dependent upon a different power source, but can only go so far based on that power source. I think our world oftentimes would say, it'd be great to be the flashlight. Go anywhere, do anything, do your own thing. I would submit to you, it would be wiser to be the other light and stay plugged in to the power source of God. Okay? Now, any illustration has its weakness, and that's all, you know, assuming that the light bulb isn't broken and that the electricity doesn't go off and all that sort of stuff. But you see the point. Because the flashlight will eventually run down. And when it runs down and the batteries wear out, it's really of no good whatsoever. That one you could use as a club, maybe, but other than that, it really has no purpose. The other light, as long as there's electricity and the bulb doesn't break, you can have that light forever. It can be useful from that point on. Jesus tells a story in John 15, if you turn with me there. And he uses a little different illustration, but he makes the same point, I think, that we need to stay attached, that we need to stay plugged into the source of life, the source of power for all of us. And he talks there about the vine and the branches. Now, I think around here we're pretty familiar with vines. There's famous vines in Wrigley Field, you know, people talk about a lot. I always say that if you're in Ogle County and you're off the pavement, you're in a specific kind of vine called poison ivy, because it is everywhere in Ogle County. It's incredibly prominent. I'm also familiar with a little vine called Creeping Charlie. That tends to take over the whole yard if you let it do that. When we lived in Georgia, there's this vine called kudzu, and it's not thought very highly of. It is highly invasive. It's a foreign vine. I don't know where it came from, but somebody brought it over. Probably the same guy that brought the Japanese beetles. We got to thank him for both of those things. But that kudzu just takes over everything. It looks like a jungle, and it's really pretty awful stuff. There are other vines like honeysuckle or wisteria or things like that that are really pretty and that we appreciate having around. But when we moved to Ohio, Linda and I moved to Ohio in 1980, the church parsonage was kind of, they bought property out of the middle of a, or out of the edge of a hayfield. And so there was just a wire fence around the property. And on the north side of the property, there's this beautiful, lush, full vine, the whole length of the thing. It was poison ivy. That whole thing was poison ivy. It was crazy. Got rid of most of it, though. Jesus talks here in John 15 about the vine and the branches. And it was an easy illustration for people in his day to understand, and I think it's pretty easy for us to understand as well. In John 15, these thoughts or comments that Jesus is making are being made during what we know as the Last Supper. It's actually John 13 to 17. The teaching time there was pretty extensive. Jesus had a lot to say, and this is one of the things that he taught during that time that we know as the Last Supper. Jesus knows that he's about to be crucified. He knows that his time is drawing quickly to an end, and his ministry is about to be passed on from him to the 11 disciples who were remaining with him. Judas had already betrayed him. He wants to emphasize to them and to us as well that we need to stay connected to him. We need to stay plugged into him. We need to stay the branch that's attached to him as the vine. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. It's not a complex illustration. Jesus just says, I'm the vine, my Father, God is the gardener. And God's the one who does the trimming. He's the one who does the pruning. He says, if no fruit is being borne by a certain branch, it's cut off and thrown away. If it is bearing fruit, it's pruned so that it bears even more fruit. God is the one who does the trimming and the pruning and the shaping and the molding. In verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It seems like this is just kind of thrown in there. The word that's used for clean can also be used for pruned. Okay? And if you look back at John the 13th chapter in verse 10, a little bit earlier in the evening as Jesus is teaching, it says, Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. So the word can also refer to loyalty, to being devoted. And Jesus was saying, the disciples, you're all clean, you're all loyal, you're all devoted, except not all of you, because, you know, and obviously there he's referring to Judas. And I think he's referring to the fact that the Word of God, the Bible, cleanses or prunes our lives as well. That as we allow God's Word to speak to us, he does surgery on us. He prunes us. It molds. It shapes us. It helps us to become what he wants us to be. As we see sin in our life condemned, as we're inspired toward righteousness, toward being like Christ, as we're inspired to continue to grow and to become more of what he wants us to be. So he says, you're clean, you're loyal, you've been pruned, you're part of the group, he's basically saying. And then look at verses 4 through 6. Okay, he says, I'm the vine, God's the gardener, you're part of the group. You've been pruned, you're attached, you're loyal. Verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And this is really the heart of what Jesus is trying to teach us here. He essentially just says that we need to stay connected to the vine. Okay? That if we're separated from the vine, the branch is just taken out, thrown on the pile, and burned up. And if you go out here in the corner, there's a great big pile of branches that have been separated from the trees or the vines and need to be burned up. Okay? Jesus says, I'm the vine, stay connected to me. He says, you can't bear fruit by yourself. He says, apart from me, you can't do anything. I think he's saying anything of significance, anything of value. You can't really bear fruit that matters for the kingdom of God if you're separated from the vine. And it's an absolutely crucial teaching here. Jesus is saying our job is to be the branch, not to be out on our own, not to try it on our own internal power source. Our job is to stay connected to the vine, connected to the power source. And he's simply saying that everything that is needed comes from the vine. He's the vine. Our job is to be the branch. He's the vine. The life is in Christ. You see, he's the one that put down roots into the ground, again, with the illustration. The vine is what brings the nutrients and the minerals and the moisture up out of the earth. to feed the branches and to provide for them, to make it possible for the branch to bear fruit, possible for the branch to be productive. The vine provides all that we need. We have to stay connected to the vine and rely upon it, not upon ourselves. I think what far too often happens is that we want to attach Christ to us. Want to go about our life doing our own thing, running around anywhere we want to go, shining our light, doing whatever, and just having a good time, and attach Christ to that effort. And just say, hey, Jesus, I'm going over here, you come along with me. And we hang our cross around our neck and we go on our merry way and do whatever, and kind of attach him to what we're doing. Jesus said, no, I'm the vine, you stay attached to me. See the difference? Rather than doing our own thing, we have to stay attached to the vine, to what he provides, to where he leads, to what he would have us to do so that we bear fruit in keeping with what he wants. Our job's to be the branch and to bear fruit, not to be the vine. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. That sounds great, doesn't it? Ask whatever you wish. But first he says, if you remain in me and in my word, it will be given to you. Look at the 14th chapter in verse 14. Jesus says there, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Right? Again, it sounds like, you know, we can go to him for anything at all that we want. And too often what happens is we run around on our own wanting to attach Christ to our efforts and then ask in that kind of a spirit. Jesus says, no, I'm the vine. You stay attached to me. So that when we ask, if we're staying connected to him, if we're staying in the word, then we will ask in accordance with his purposes, not in accordance with our every want or our every whim. Okay? There's all kinds of things that he's obviously not going to answer because they're not good for us. Because we're asking when we're out there wandering around on our own instead of staying connected to him. Verse 8, he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus says, he's the vine, we're the branches, it's to God's glory that we bear fruit. See, Jesus is saying it's not about him, it's about glorifying God. Our lives attached to the vine are to glorify God by bearing fruit for him, by living his way, by doing it his way. Pretty simple illustration. He's the vine, we're the branches. We only bear fruit if we stay connected to him, connected to the power source. So what's our response to be? How do we do that? Look at verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in Christ's love. Remain attached to the vine. Remain. And that message runs all through this passage. In verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, remain. Jesus is saying, stay attached to the vine. Abide there. Stay there. Be close. Don't be detached. Remain there. Stay connected. Stay plugged in. There's the huge temptation for us all the time to all of a sudden become independent. You know, to be like that flashlight and think we can go out and do it on our own and run on internal power, but sooner or later it runs out. But if we stay attached to the vine, if we remain in him, the power source never stops. So in practical terms, how do we remain in Christ? Number one, we need to get there. Number one, we need to be attached. Okay? We need to accept Christ as our personal Savior. We need to trust in him and in him alone for our eternal life. Because God says there's no other way to have eternal life. Jesus paid for all your sins. That's the only way. No other way will do it. You know, it's great if you feed the squirrels in the park and all that sort of stuff, but that doesn't cut it. The only thing that gets it done is Jesus dying for your sins and accepting that payment in faith. In Acts 2:38, after his sermon, Peter is the people said, basically, what do we need to do? How do we be saved? And so Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So to be attached to the vine, we have to repent of our sins and accept Jesus Christ. We believe in him, repent, and we're baptized. In 1 John 5:11-13, John says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. How do we remain in Christ? We attach ourselves to him. We claim his payment on our behalf. We accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. That's first. Then secondly, how do we remain? We don't leave. We stay put right where we're at. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, because he's the vine and he's connected to God. Hold unswervingly to that. Remain in Christ. Don't leave. Linda and I took an airplane flight, a jet flight, when we lived in Michigan in 1979 and 80. We were going down to see her parents for Christmas. I think that's when I first met her parents. Boy, that brings back memories. We lived in about 60 miles north of Grand Rapids, and we took a flight from Grand Rapids to Florida that stopped 5 times before it landed in Orlando. It was, I mean, the best part of flying is taking off and landing. It was great. I was like a kid in a candy store. Liquor. Where did liquor come from? I tried to say Linda and it came out liquor. I don't know. I'm not sure. I was having a good time. Linda was sick as a dog. We found out later she was pregnant and she didn't know it yet, but found that out. In order to get to Orlando, we had to stay on the flight. We couldn't leave. That airline's no longer in business for fairly obvious reasons. Okay? 6 times, up and down. We just had to stay on the flight. Didn't change planes, just had to remain there. When we accept Christ, we're not to leave. We're going to reach the destination of the kingdom of God. We need to stay with Christ. If you get in an elevator in the lobby and want to go to the top floor, you got to stay on the elevator. You got to remain there until it gets all the way to the top. And there's all kinds of opportunities to get off. You can get off at every floor if you want. Okay? Need to remain in Christ. Don't leave. Stay there. Number three, again, remain in Christ's love. Look at John 15 and verse 10. He says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Obedience. You know, it's not rocket science. We're just to obey. We're to remain there. We're to be connected. We're not to live as if Christ is just an attachment to what we want to do. We're to be attached to what he wants to do and what he provides. And then obey his commandments. Number four, disobedience leads us away from the vine. It leads us outside the boundaries. Okay? We're to remain in his love. And as we obey, we learn how great that love is. And I put on your outline, we have to know the word in order to obey it. Ignorance is no excuse for the law of the land. It's really no excuse for not obeying God either. So we need time in the Word to know what it says, to know what we're to obey, to know what are distractions and what's really Christ's way, staying connected to the vine rather than doing our own thing. Verse 11, I think we need to display joy as well. He says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If we're connected to the vine, if we're a fruitful branch, if that fruit is being produced, we're living an obedient life, we're bringing glory to God, it ought to show in our lives with some joy. Grouchiness, I just don't think, is much of a picture of Christ. Okay, I just don't think he was grouchy. He said some pretty straight things. He got a little grumpy with the Pharisees, but he was just because they were so far out in left field. They were so wrong. They were so detached from anything godlike. So yeah, he got a little cross with them, but they needed it. Okay? In our lives, people ought to see something in us that's appealing, something in us that's attractive. I think they ought to see that in our relationships with each other, in our marriages, and all of those kinds of things. They ought to be appealing. People ought to say, why are you so happy all the time? You can say, I'm not happy all the time, but there's joy in my heart because I know Christ. And you go, oh, dude, one of those. No. You just share it with them, okay? Our circumstances don't rob our joy. Our circumstances can get really tough. It doesn't have to rob our joy because we're connected to the vine. And we have that hope of eternal life. Number 6, love each other. Look at verses 12 and 13. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, which is exactly what Jesus did for all of us. Laid down his life, paid for all of our sins. It's all taken care of. There's nothing left to do. We just have to accept, attach ourselves to the vine, stay connected to him, and love each other. And one of the ways it shows is in our relationship with each other. So love each other. Stay connected to the vine. Keep your life in the vine. It may be great, it may look great, to be out doing your own thing and to think that this would be great because there's a lot of internal power here. It'll last a long time. It might, but eventually it wears out. And then it's very empty and very dark. Okay? If you stay connected to the vine, the power source never runs out, and there's always that light, and you can always bear fruit for the Lord. And we have that hope and that certainty of eternal life to come. So this morning, if you've not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give you opportunity to do that. Because I can't talk about staying connected to the vine the whole time and not give you an opportunity to do so. Jesus died, paid for all of your sins. There's nothing else left that has to be done other than you accepting him in faith. Trusting in him and in him alone, because there's no other way for your sins to be forgiven and for eternal life to be granted to you. So if you'd like to accept Christ this morning, I'm going to invite you just to come forward as we sing, and you don't have to do anything else, but just to make it known that you want to begin trusting Christ. And as we sing, if you'd like to accept Christ, I would invite you simply to come forward and make that fact known. And we'll celebrate today in a big way. Father, help us recognize that Jesus is the vine, that our job is to be the branches, not to provide everything needed, but to stay connected to the one who does, to be obedient to him and to bear fruit for him. Father, help people all around us see the fruit, the joy, the peace that we have because we know Christ, because we're thoroughly attached to him and to his will. May that be obvious in our lives, Lord, and appealing and attractive to others. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.